Kitty. Chapter 45. For the first seconds, Kitty was no longer in the cobbled lane, no longer breathing morning air. She was once more underground, trapped in a black crypt, with the scent of death on her face, and her friends cut down before her eyes. The terror was the same, and the helplessness. She felt her strength and resolution shrivel into nothing, like scraps of paper consumed by fire. She could scarcely breathe. Her first thought was anger at the demon Bartimaeus. His claim to have destroyed the skeleton was now revealed as just another falsehood. Her second thought was for Jacob, who stood quivering beside her. Because of her actions, he would die. She knew this with utter certainty, and hated herself for it. Most of the skeleton's clothing had fallen away. What little remained hung shapelessly upon the yellow-white bones. The golden mask was missing. Tiny red flames burned in the skull's dark sockets. Below, sunlight filtered between the ribs and out through the remnants of the jacket. The trousers and shoes were entirely gone, but the creature's energy was unchanged. It hopped from foot to foot with an appalling, jerky swiftness. "Well, jolly nice, I call it!" The merry voice rang clear as a bell from between the dangling teeth. "I couldn't have asked for more. Here I am, happy as a lamb, if a little damp about the cartilage. Hard at work. What do I want? Simply to follow the scent of my lost possession, collect it, and be off on my way. What do I find? My staff? Yes, good as new. But more than that, two other little lambs to play with. Two lambs who I've been thinking about long and hard as I swilled around the estuary in the cold, cold water, and my beautiful clothes grew rotten on my bones. Oh, don't look so innocent, my dear." The high voice dropped to a snarl. The skull jutted down towards Kitty. "You're one of them. The little mouse who disturbed my master's rest, who took his staff, and thinks it ladylike to carry vicious silver in her purse. You I'll deal with lastly." The skeleton straightened with a bound, tapped its metatarsals on the limousine bonnet, and jerked out a finger towards Bartimaeus, who still wore the semblance of a dark-skinned boy. "Then there's you," it said, "the one who stole my face. The one who drowned me in the Thames. Oh, I'm most terrible mad at you." If it was anxious, the demon was doing a good job of hiding it. "I can understand that," it said coolly. "In fact, I'm a little disappointed myself. Mind telling me how you got here?" The skull champed on its jaw in a fury. "Merest chance saved me from oblivion," it whispered. "As I drifted, helpless in the current and the cold, cold dark, the crook of my elbow snagged in a rusted chain rising from an anchor in the riverbed. In an instant I had seized the chain in my fingers and my jaw. I fought against the pull of the ocean, clambered upwards to the light. Where did I come out? An old barge, tethered for the night. As the cruel water dropped from my bones, my strength returned. What did I want? Vengeance! But first, the staff, to give me back my power. I crept along the shore by night and day, snuffling for its aura like a dog. And today—" the voice erupted in sudden, riotous delight. "I've found it, traced it to this yard, waited here in coziness with that fellow on the floor." It indicated the chauffeur's body with a dismissive toe. "I fear he did not have good conversation." Bartimaeus nodded. "Humans aren't known for their wit. Very dull." "Aren't they, though?" "Deathly." "Hey!" The skeleton collected itself indignantly. "You're trying to change the subject!" "Not at all. You were saying you were terrible mad at me." "Quite. Where was I? Terrible mad. Two little lambs, a girl, and a jinni." It appeared to have quite lost its train of thought. Kitty jerked a thumb at the magician Mandrake. "What about him?" Mandrake gave a start. "I've never seen this excellent Afrit in all my life. He can have no grudge against me." The flames in the skull's eye sockets flared. "Except that you carry my staff. That is no small matter. And what is more,
You plan to use it.
Yes, no denials. You are a magician.
Its outrage was worth building on. Kitty cleared her throat.
He made me steal it, she said. It's all his fault. Everything. He made Bartimaeus attack you, too.
Is that so?
The skeleton considered John Mandrake. How very interesting. It bent towards Bartimaeus again.
She's not correct, is she? Is that fop with the staff really your master?
The young Egyptian boy looked genuinely embarrassed. I'm afraid so.
Tusk! Dear me! Well, don't worry. I'll kill him. After I kill you.
Even as it spoke, the skeleton raised a finger. Green flame erupted where the demon had stood, but the boy was already gone, somersaulting across the cobbles to land neatly on a dustbin beside the nearest house. As if propelled by a single thought, Kitty, Jacob, and John Mandrake turned and ran, making for the arch that led out of the mews courtyard to the road beyond. Kitty was the swiftest, and it was she who first noticed the sudden darkening of the atmosphere, a rapid leaching away of the dawn light about them, as if some power was thrusting it bodily away from the ground. She slowed and stopped. Thin tendrils of blackness were waving and probing through the archway ahead, and behind them came a dark cloud. The view beyond was utterly blocked out, the courtyard cut off from the world outside.
What now?
Kitty exchanged a helpless glance with Jacob and looked back over her shoulder. The Egyptian boy had sprouted wings and was swooping to and fro across the courtyard, just out of reach of the bounding skeleton.
Keep away from that cloud!
It was John Mandrake's voice, quiet and faltering. He was near them, eyes wide, slowly retreating.
I think it's dangerous.
Kitty sneered at him.
Like you care.
Even so, she too backed away. The cloud extended towards them. A terrible silence hung about it, and an overpowering smell of wet earth. Jacob touched her arm.
Can you hear?
Yes.
Heavy footfalls in the depths of the shadows. Something coming closer.
We've got to get out of this, she said. Make for the cellar.
They turned and ran towards the steps that led to Mr. Pennyfeather's cellar store. From across the courtyard, the skeleton, which had been vainly firing bolts of magic at the energetic demon, perceived them and clapped its hands. A tremor. The cobblestones rattled. The lintel above the basement door split in two. A ton of brickwork descended with a rush upon the stairs. The dust subsided. The door was gone. With a hop and a skip, the skeleton was upon them.
"That darn demon is a bit too spry," it said. "I've changed my mind. You two are first."
"Why me?" Jacob gasped. "I've done nothing."
"I know, dear child."
The eye sockets glittered.
"But you're full of life, and after my time underwater I frankly need the energy."
It reached out a hand. As it did so, it noticed for the first time the dark cloud stealing across the courtyard, sucking the light from the air. The skeleton gazed into the blackness, jaw lolling uncertainly.
"Well, well," it said softly. "What's this?"
Kitty and Jacob scuffled back against the wall. The skeleton paid no heed. It swiveled its pelvis and straightened to face the cloud, calling out something in a strange tongue. Beside her, Kitty felt Jacob give a start.
"That was Czech," he whispered. "Something like, I defy you."
The skull rotated 180 degrees and stared at them.
"Excuse me a minute, children. I have unfinished business to take care of. I will attend to you in half a jiff. Wait there!"
Bones clicking, it moved away, circling out into the centre of the courtyard, its eye sockets fixed upon the swelling cloud. Kitty tried to gather her wits. She looked about her. The road was engulfed by shadows, the sun a veiled disk faintly shimmering in the sky. The exit from the mews was blocked by the menacing darkness. On all other sides, blank walls and barred windows stared down.
Kitty cursed.
If she had a single sphere, she could blast their way out. As it was, they were helpless.
Rats in a trap.
A flurry of air beside her. a lightly descending figure. The demon Bartimaeus folded its gauzy wings behind its back and nodded to her politely. Kitty flinched.
"Oh, don't worry," the boy said. "My orders were to prevent you leaving in that car. Go anywhere near it, and I'll have to stop you. Otherwise, do whatever you like."
Kitty frowned. "What's happening? What's this darkness?" The boy sighed ruefully. "Remember that golem I mentioned? It's turned up. Somebody has decided to intervene. No prizes for guessing why. That wretched staff is the root of all our trouble." It peered out through the smog. "Which reminds me, what's he?"
"Oh, he's not. Tell me he's not. He is as well. The little idiot."
"What?"
"My dear master, he's trying to activate the staff."
Roughly opposite them, not far from the limousine, the magician John Mandrake had retreated to stand against a wall. Ignoring the activities of the skeleton, it was now prancing back and forth across the cobbles, declaiming insults against the ever-advancing cloud. He leaned upon the staff, head bowed, eyes seemingly closed as if asleep. Kitty thought she could see his lips moving, mouthing words.
"This is not going to end well," the demon said. "If he's trying some simple activation without reinforcement or muting spells, he's asking for trouble. He hasn't a clue how much energy it contains. 2 marids worth, at least. Over-ambition, that's always been his problem."
It shook its head sadly. Kitty understood little of this and cared even less.
"Please, Bartimaeus, is that your name? Can we get out? Can you help us? You could break through a wall."
The boy's dark eyes appraised her. "Why should I do that?"
You don't mean us harm. You've just been following orders."
She did not sound very confident. The boy scowled. "I'm a wicked demon. You said so. Anyway, even if I wish to help you, we don't want to draw attention to ourselves right now. Our friend the Afreet has forgotten us for the moment. He's remembered the siege of Prague, when golems like this one caused havoc among Gladstone's troops."
"It's doing something," Jacob whispered. "The skeleton."
"Yes. Heads down." For some moments the cloud of darkness had paused in its advance, as if considering the antics of the capering skeleton before it. As they watched, it seemed to make a decision. Tendrils flowed forwards in the vague direction of Mandrake and the staff. At this, the skeleton acted. It raised an arm. A brilliant stream of pale light shot out and slammed into the cloud. There was a muffled thump, as of an explosion behind strong doors. Fragments of black cloud dispersed in all directions, twisting and melting away in the suddenly renewed warmth of the morning sun. Bartimaeus made an appreciative sound. "Not bad, not bad. Won't help him, though." Jacob and Kitty caught their breath. Standing in the centre of the courtyard, they saw revealed a giant figure, man-shaped but much greater, stocky and crude of limb, a colossal slab-like head perched upon its shoulders. It seemed put out by the destruction of its cloud. It swung its arms uselessly, as if trying to scoop the darkness back around itself. Failing in this endeavour, and studiously ignoring the whoops of triumph uttered by the skeleton, it set off with lumbering steps across the courtyard. "Mandrake had better hurry with his conjuration," Bartimaeus said. "Whoops, there goes Honorius again."
"Keep back!"
the skeleton's cry echoed across the courtyard. "The staff is my property. I defy you. I have not guarded it for 100 years to see some coward rob me. I see you staring through that eye. I shall pluck it out and crush it with my fist." With this it fired several blasts of magic at the golem, which absorbed them without any ill effect. The stone figure strode on. Kitty could see the details of the head more clearly now. 2 nominal eyes, and above them a larger, far more defined third, planted in the centre of the forehead. This swiveled left and right. It shone like a white flame. The mouth below was little more than a corrugated hole, token and useless. The demon's words came back to her. Somewhere in that terrible mouth was the magical paper that gave the monster its power. A scream of defiance. Honorius, the Afreet, apoplectic at the failure of its magic, had flung itself forwards into the path of the advancing golem. Dwarfed by the great figure, the The skeleton bent its knees and sprang. As it did so, magical energies erupted from its mouth and hands. It landed directly on the golem's chest, bony arms circling the neck, legs twining round the torso. Blue flames erupted where it touched. The golem stopped dead, raised a massive club-like hand, and seized the skeleton by a shoulder blade. For a moment the two adversaries remained locked, motionless, in utter silence. The flames licked higher. There was a smell of burning, a radiation of the utmost cold. Then, all at once, a rush of sound, a pulse of blue light. The skeleton shattered. Fragments of bone shot out across the cobbles like a squall of hail.
"Strange."
Bartimaeus was seated, cross-legged, on the ground. He had the look of a fascinated spectator.
"That was really very strange.
Honorius didn't need to do that, you know. It was totally foolhardy, a suicidal act. Though brave, of course. Despite being mad, he must have known it would destroy him, don't you think? Golems negate our magic, pulverize our essence, even when encased in bone. Very odd. Perhaps he was tired of this world after all. Do you understand it, Kitty Jones?"
"Kitty?"
This was Jacob, plucking urgently at her sleeve.
"The exit's clear. We can slip away."
"Yes." She snatched another look across at Mandrake. Eyes closed, he was still reciting the words of some spell.
"Come on!"
The golem had been stationary since the destruction of the skeleton. Now it moved again. Its true eye glittered, swiveled, fixed upon Mandrake and the staff.
"Looks like Mandrake's for it." Bartimaeus's voice was neutral, matter of fact.
Kitty shrugged and began to inch after Jacob along the edge of the wall.
Just then Mandrake looked up. At first he seemed oblivious of the coming danger. Then his gaze fell upon the advancing golem. His face broadened into a smile. He held the staff out before him and spoke a single word. A nebulous light of pinks and purples drifted around the body of the staff, rising towards its top. Kitty paused in her inching. A soft reverberation, a humming, as of a thousand bees trapped underground, a tremble in the air. The ground shook slightly.
"He can't have," Bartimaeus said. "He can't have mastered it. Not first time."
The boy's smile widened. He pointed Gladstone's staff towards the golem, which paused uncertainly. Coloured lights played about the carvings on the staff. The boy's face was alive with their radiance and a terrible joy. In a deep, commanding voice, he uttered a complex charm. The flux about the staff flared. Kitty screwed up her eyes, half looked away. The golem rocked back on its heels. The flux wobbled, sputtered, shot back down the staff and along the magician's arm. His head jerked back. He was lifted bodily off his feet and straight into the wall behind him with a melancholy thud. The boy sprawled on the cobbles, tongue lolling. The staff clattered from his hand.
"Ah," Bartimaeus nodded sagely. "He hadn't mastered it. Thought as much."
"Kitty!"
Jacob was already some way off along the wall. He was gesticulating furiously.
"While there's still time!"
The giant clay figure had resumed its stately progress towards the prone figure of the magician. Kitty made to follow Jacob, then turned back to Bartimaeus.
"What's going to happen?"
"Now? After my master's little error?"
"Simple enough. You'll run off, the golem will kill Mandrake, grab the staff, and take it to whichever magician's watching through that eye."
"And you? You won't help him?"
"I'm powerless against the golem. I've tried once already. Besides, when you were escaping just now, my master overruled all his previous charges, which included my duty to protect him. If Mandrake dies, I go free. It's hardly in my interest to help the idiot out." The golem was drawing abreast of the limousine now, nearing the body of the chauffeur. Kitty looked again at Mandrake, lying unconscious by the wall. She bit her lip and turned away.
"I don't have free will most of the time, you see," the demon said behind her, loudly. "So when I do, I'm hardly likely to act in a way that injures myself, if I can help it. That's what makes me superior to muddled humans like you. It's called common sense. Anyway, off you go," it added. "Your resilience might well not work against the golem. It's refreshing to see you doing exactly what I would do, and getting out while the going's good." Kitty blew her cheeks out and took a few steps more. She looked back over her shoulder again.
"Mandrake wouldn't have helped me,"
she said. "Exactly. You're a smart girl. Off you go, and leave him to die." She looked at the golem.
"It's too big. I could never tackle it."
"Especially once it's past that limousine."
"Oh, hell!"
Then Kitty was running, not towards the stricken Jacob, but out across the cobbles towards the lumbering giant. She ignored the pain and numbness in her shoulder, ignored her friends' despairing shouts. Most of all, she ignored the voices in her head, ridiculing her, screaming out the danger, the futility of her action. She put her head down, increased her speed. She was no demon, no magician. She was better than they were. Greed and self-interest were not her only concerns. She scampered round the back of the golem, close enough to see the rough smears on the surface of the stone, smell the terrible wet earthen taint that drifted in its wake. She leaped onto the bonnet of the limousine, ran along it, level with the torso of the monster. The sightless eyes stared forwards like those of a dead fish. Above them the third eye sparkled with malign intelligence. Its gaze was fixed firmly upon Mandrake's body. It did not perceive Kitty, at the side, leaping with all her strength to land upon the golem's back. The extreme cold of the surface made her gasp with pain. Even with her resilience, it was like plunging into an icy stream. Her breath left her, every nerve stung. Her head swam with the earthen stench. Bile rose in her throat. She flung her good arm round the golem's shoulder, clung desperately. Each footstep threatened to shake her free. She had expected the golem to reach up and tear her off, but it did not do so. The eye did not see her. Its controller could not feel her weight on the creature's body. Kitty reached forwards with her wounded arm. Her shoulder throbbed, making her cry out. She bent her elbow, reached around the front of the face, feeling for the great gaping mouth. That was what the demon had said. A manuscript, a paper, lodged inside. Her fingers touched the ice-cold stone of the face. Her eyes rolled. She almost blacked out. It was no good. She couldn't reach the mouth. The golem stopped. With surprising suddenness, its back began to bend. Kitty was flung forwards, almost head-first over its shoulders. She had a brief glimpse of the lumpen hand below, reaching out and down towards the unconscious boy. It would seize him by the neck, snap it like a twig. Still the back bent. Kitty began to topple, her grip failed, her fingers slapped frantically against the great flat face, and all at once lit upon the cavity of the mouth. They thrust inside. Rough, cold stone, jagged snags that might almost have been teeth. Something else, of a soft coarseness. She grasped at it, and in the same moment lost all purchase on the creature's back. She tumbled forwards over its shoulder, landing heavily on the prone figure of the boy. She lay on her back, opened her eyes, and screamed. The golem's face was right above her. The gaping mouth, the sightless eyes, the third eye fixed upon her, alive with fury. As she watched, the fury dimmed. The intelligence went out. The eye in the forehead was nothing but a clay oval, intricately carved, but dull and lifeless. Kitty raised her head stiffly, looked at her left hand. A scroll of yellow parchment was clutched between her finger and thumb. Painfully, Kitty propped herself up on her elbows. The golem was completely frozen, one fist inches from John Mandrake's face. The stonework was cracked and pitted. It might have been a statue. It no longer radiated extreme cold.
"Mad! Quite mad!"
The Egyptian boy was standing beside her, hands on hips, shaking its head gently.
"You're as mad as that Afreet was."
"Still," it indicated the magician's body, "at least you got a soft landing." Behind the demon, she saw Jacob approaching diffidently, wide-eyed. Kitty groaned. Her shoulder wound was bleeding again, and every muscle in her body seemed to ache. With laborious care she righted herself and stood, hauling herself up by pulling on the golem's outstretched hand. Jacob was gazing down at John Mandrake. Gladstone's staff lay across his breast.
"Is he dead?"
He sounded hopeful. "He's still breathing, more's the pity." The demon sighed. looked at Kitty sidelong. "By your foolhardy actions you've condemned me to further toil." It glanced into the sky. "I would take issue with you, but there were some search spheres here earlier. I think the Golem's cloud caused them to retreat, but they'll be back, and soon. It would be best if you depart with haste."
"Yes."
Kitty took a few steps, then remembered the parchment in her hand. With sudden disgust she loosened her fingers. It drifted to the cobbles.
"What about the staff?" Bartimaeus said. "You could take it, you know. No one's here to stop you."
Kitty frowned, glanced back at it. It was a formidable object. She knew that much. Mr. Pennyfeather would have taken it. So would Hopkins, the benefactor. Honorius, the Afreet. Mandrake himself. Many others had died for it.
"I don't think so," she said. "It's no good to me."
She turned away, began hobbling after Jacob towards the arch. She half expected the demon to call to her again, but it did not do so. In less than a minute, Kitty was at the arch. As she rounded it, she looked back and saw the dark-skinned boy still staring after her across the courtyard. A moment later, he was out of view.